doing little to prevent the cold air. The school is already chilly from the electricity being off. Six is now wearing only the rubber suit, which is entirely black, aside from a gray band slicing diagonally down the front of it. She is standing in the middle of our group with such poise and confidence that I wish I had a Lorik suit of my own. She opens her mouth to speak, but is interrupted by a loud boom from outside. All of us rush to the windows, but can see nothing of what is happening. The crash is followed by several loud bangs, and the sound of tearing, gnashing, something being destroyed. "What's happening?" I ask.
"Your lights,"
Henri says over the sounds of destruction. I turn them on and sweep them across the yard outside. They reach but 10 feet before being swallowed by the darkness. Henri steps back and tilts his head, listening to the sounds in extreme concentration, and then he nods in resigned acceptance.
"They are destroying all the cars out there, my truck included," he says. "If we survive this and escape this school, it'll have to be on foot."
Terror sweeps across both Mark's and Sarah's faces.
"We can't waste any more time," Six says. "Strategy or no strategy, we have to go before the beasts and soldiers arrive." "She said we can get out through the gymnasium," Six says, and nods at Sarah. "It's our only hope."
"Her name is Sarah," I say. I sit in a nearby chair, unnerved by the urgency in Six's voice. She seems to be the steady one, the one who has remained calm under the weight of the terrors we have seen thus far. Bernie Kosar is back at the door, scratching at the fridges that are blocking it, growling and whining in impatience. Since my lights are on, Six has a good look at him for the first time. She stares at Bernie Kosar, then squints her eyes and inches her face forward. She walks over and bends down to pet him. I turn and look at her. I find it odd that she is grinning. "What?" I ask. She looks up at me.
"You don't know."
"Know what?" Her grin widens. She looks back at Bernie Kosar, who races away from her and charges back to the window, scratching at it, growling, the occasional bark in frustration. The school is surrounded, death imminent, almost certain, and Six is grinning. It irritates me.
"Your dog," she says. "You really don't know?"
"No," says Henri.
I look at him. He shakes his head at Six.
"What the hell?" I ask. "What?"
Six looks at me, then at Henri. She emits a half laugh and opens her mouth to speak. But just before any words escape, something catches her eye, and she rushes back to the window. We follow, and, as before, the very subtle glow of a set of headlights sweeps around the bend in the road and into the lot of the school. Another car. Maybe a coach or teacher. I close my eyes and take a deep breath. "It could mean nothing," I say.
"Turn your lights off,"
Henri says to me. I turn them off, clench my hands into fists. Something about the car outside causes anger within me. The hell with the exhaustion, with the shakes that have been present ever since I jumped through the principal's window. I can't take being confined in this room any longer, knowing that the Mogadorians are out there, waiting and plotting our doom. That car outside may be the first of the soldiers arriving on the scene. But just when that thought pops into my mind, we see the lights quickly retreat from the lot and speed away in a hurry down the same road they came.
"We have to get out of this damn school," Henri says.
Henri sits in a chair 10 feet away from the door with the shotgun aimed right at it. He is breathing slowly, though he is tense, and I can see the muscles flexed in his jaw. None of us say a word. Six made herself invisible and slipped out to do some exploring. We're just waiting. And finally, it comes. 3 slight taps on the door. Six's knock, so that we know it's her and not a scout trying to enter. Henri lowers the gun, and she walks in, and I return one of the fridges to block the door behind her. She was gone for a full 10 minutes.
"You were right," she says to Henri. They've destroyed every car in the lot and have somehow moved the wreckage to block every door from being opened. And Sarah is right. They've overlooked the stage hatch. I counted 7 scouts outside and 5 inside walking the halls. There was one outside this door, but it's been disposed of. They seem to be getting antsy. I think that means the others should have been here already, which means they can't be far.
Henri stands and grabs the chest and nods at me. I help him open it. He reaches in and pulls out a few small round pebbles that he sticks in his pocket. I have no idea what they are. Then he closes and locks the chest and slides it into one of the ovens and closes the door. I move a refrigerator up against the oven to keep it from being opened. There really is no other choice. The chest is heavy. It would be impossible to fight while carrying it, and we need every available hand to get out of this mess.
I hate to leave it behind,
Henri says, shaking his head. Six nods uneasily. Something in the thought of the Mogadorians getting a hold of the chest terrifies them both. It'll be fine here, I say.
Henri lifts the shotgun and pumps it once, looks at Sarah and Mark.
This isn't your fight, he tells them. I don't know what to expect out there, but if this thing goes badly, you guys get back in the school and stay hidden. They aren't after you, and I don't think they'll care to come looking if they already have us.
Sarah and Mark both look stricken with fear, both holding their respective knives with white-knuckled grips in their right hands. Mark has lined his belt with everything from the kitchen drawers that might be of use. More knives, the meat tenderizer, cheese grater, a pair of scissors. We go left out of this room, and when we reach the end of the hall, the gymnasium is past double doors 20 or so feet to the right, I say to Henri.
The hatch is in the very middle of the stage, Six says. It's covered with a blue mat. There were no scouts in the gym, but that doesn't mean they won't be there this time around.
So we're just going to go outside and try to outrun them? Sarah asks. Her voice is full of panic. She's breathing heavily.
It's our only choice, says Henri.
I grab her hand. She is shaking badly. It'll be okay, I say.
How do you know that? She says in a more demanding tone than a questioning one.
I don't, I say. Six moves the fridge from the door. Bernie Kosar immediately starts scratching at the door, trying to get out, growling.
I can't make you all invisible, Six says. If I disappear, I'll still be nearby.
Six grabs hold of the doorknob, and Sarah takes a deep, shaky breath beside me, squeezing my hand as tightly as she can. I can see the knife quivering in her right hand.
Stay close to me, I say. I'm not leaving your side.
The door swings open, and Six jumps out into the hall, Henri close behind. I follow, and Bernie Kosar races ahead of us all, a ball of fury speeding away. Henri points the shotgun one way, then the other. The hallway is empty. Bernie Kosar has already reached the intersection. He disappears. Six follows suit and makes herself invisible, and the rest of us run towards the gym, Henri in the lead. I make Mark and Sarah go ahead of me. None of us can really see a thing, can only hear each other's footsteps. I turn my lights on to help guide the way, and that's the first mistake I make. A classroom door to my right swings open. Everything happens in a split second, and before I have a chance to react, I am hit in the shoulder with something heavy. My lights shut off. I crash straight through a glass display window. I'm cut on the top of my head, and blood runs down the side of my face almost immediately. Sarah screams. Whatever it was that hit me clubs me again, a hollow thud in my ribs that knocks the wind from me.
Turn your lights on,
Henri yells. I do. A scout stands over me, holding a 6-foot-long piece of wood that it must have found in the industrial arts classroom. It raises it in the air to hit me again, but Henri, standing 20 feet away, fires the shotgun first. The scout's head disappears, blown to pieces. The rest of its body turns to ash before it even hits the floor. Henri lowers the gun.
Shit,